Again, I'm thankful to be with you today. I appreciate you being here. I'm always encouraged to be with those of like precious faith. I appreciate the good way in which the prayers have been led, and appreciate you mentioning my mother and those. I appreciate the good job that was done in waiting on the Lord's table as we remember the Lord's death by partaking of the bread and the fruit of the vine. Appreciate the good job that was done in the scripture reading and the leading of the singing. And I hope that the lesson will be beneficial to you. Appreciate the announcements, the way they were done in a good job. It's always good to be busy about doing what God would have us to do on the Lord's Day. And I know that you agree with that. As was read just a little bit ago from the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16, there's a little statement that is made that I'd like to use as a way in which to do our sermon this morning. Just a very simple statement as Peter is writing to those who are of like precious faith. And he says in verse 14, "As obedient children, not fashion yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance." I'd like to use that phrase, "as obedient children." When you obey the gospel of Christ, I know that you understand that we are in the family of God. And the Bible pictures God, the God of the Bible, the only God that there is, the God in heaven, as our Father. A lot of passages talk about that. The Lord talked about that in the Sermon on the Mount. When He talks about being children of our Father. Remember the model prayer that He gave? Pray after this manner, "Our Father who art in heaven." And so the God of the Bible, the God that created us, is our Father when we are in His family. And I hope that we appreciate that. A lot of passages in the New Testament talk about being in the family of God. It may not say family. It may not say household, though some passages do. I'll point a couple of those out. But He uses words to indicate that we are in the family of God. Like the book of Galatians chapter 3 and in verse 26. "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." When He talks about being separate, that He may be our Father and we are His sons and daughters. 2 Corinthians 6:18. "The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Romans chapter 8 and in verse 16. "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 1. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 15. "But if I tarry long, that thou oughtest," or "that thou mayest know, to know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." And in the book of Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 10, "As we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith." And so, when we obey the gospel of Christ, the Bible says that we are in the family of God. Children of God. And that He's our Father. And I hope that we appreciate that very much. So, when we obey the gospel, we're in the family of God, His sons, His daughters, His children. We need to understand that we, as obedient children then, need to serve Him. So I'd like for us to think about being obedient. First of all, we need to be obedient to the faith, to the gospel. You say, "Well, preacher, we did that when we obeyed the gospel of Christ." Well, we did. We obeyed that form of doctrine by which we could be in the family of God. And a lot of passages in the book of Romans, and incidentally, a book that a lot of people in the religious world want to use as, they say, a basis to show that we are not saved by works. When He talks about the fact, was not Abraham justified without works? Well, you've got to understand the Bible's use of works, and we'll not go through that. I have several times in the past, the Bible's use of the word works. And sometimes when the Bible's talking about works, He's talking about the works of the Old Testament law of Moses. And that's what He's talking about in the book of Romans. And He's trying to get these people to see the fact that Abraham, if God could justify Abraham, who was justified long before the law of Moses was given, well, is it a strange thing that God today can justify a man without the works of the law of Moses? He did Abraham. Well, can He do that today? Well, sure He can. And He does. justified man without the Old Testament law of Moses, because we're justified by faith in Christ. And that's what the book of Galatians is about. The points that Paul would make in that book, defending his apostleship and showing that we're justified by faith in Christ. But the very book that many times they try to use to show that we are justified without works is a book that is filled throughout it talking about obedience. I mentioned to you before, in the very first chapter of the book of Romans, he talks about for obedience to the faith. Romans chapter 1 and in verse 5. Obedience to the faith. Romans chapter 16 and in verse 26. And so in the first chapter and the last chapter of the book of Romans, he talks about obedience. But it doesn't stop there. In the middle of the book of Romans, Romans chapter 6, verses 16 through 18, he talks about obedience. Know ye not, King James Version way of saying, don't you know? Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye, and he's writing to Christian people, people who had already heard the word, believed it, repented of their sins, confessed their faith in Christ, and were immersed, baptized in water for the remission of sins. They'd already done that. But he says, thanks be unto God that ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. That is, they obeyed the gospel. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. And in the book of Romans chapter 10, which again is one of those sugar stick passages, they try to use it in that way to say, well, here he says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Well, that's ever been a true statement, howbeit not used in the way that they try to use it today. Because he goes on to talk about gospel preaching. And he goes on to talk about believing the gospel. And he talks about obeying the gospel. The Lord, they have not all obeyed the gospel. As it is written, they have not all believed our report. Romans chapter 10 and verse 16. And so, throughout the book of Romans, he talks about obedience. We've got to initially obey the gospel. But it doesn't stop there. We've got to continue to obey the faith, the doctrine of Christ. As obedient children. Now, I want you to think about that analogy, that picture about children rendering obedience to their families. God calls upon children to do that. Ephesians chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. And so as you think about that picture in a home of children rendering obedience to the parent, we in a like manner have to be obedient children unto God. And it starts in the home, by the way. If our children don't learn obedience and the respect for authority, what makes us think that they'll grow up to obey the gospel or to be productive members of society when they won't even obey mom and dad? Learned it in the home. How are they going to be obedient to the lawgivers and to our folks who are in authority? Or at school, to a school teacher or to a principal if they won't obey mom and dad? We've got to understand that it starts in the home. But also, as obedient children, we've got to be obedient in thought. Well, preacher, I'm with you when it comes to doing what God says to do, action-wise, but I'm not so sure if I've got to allow my thoughts or make my thoughts be obedient. We know the Bible does say that. Notice, if you will, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. It does matter what we think. Now, I understand when we say it doesn't matter what we think as far as establishing Bible truth or religious truth. And it will not be established based upon what I think. But it does matter what I think and what my thought process is and what I give my thoughts to. Because I read, as you do, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 5. Casting down, let's back up so we get a better sense of the context. Let's just go back to verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence and base among you, that means lowly as the New King James Version puts it, but being absent and bold toward you, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think it to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. And the Bible often makes a distinction between walking according to the flesh and walking according to the Spirit, like in the book of Galatians. If we be led by the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. That means by the Spirit, by the teaching of the Spirit. As you would talk about those works of the flesh of which Mark dealt with in the Wednesday night Bible class, but in Galatians chapter 5, he talked about the works of the flesh, and then he begins to talk about the fruit, singular, fruit of the Spirit. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, the pulling down of strongholds. Now, I'll pause here to say, just because it came to mind, when I mentioned to you that we'll do a series of lessons on touchy topics, you've given some very good topics. And some of the topics have been concerning the Holy Spirit. Some have asked a question about the men participating in the work of the church. Some have asked about our responsibility, our actions toward those who have been not toward those who have been withdrawn from, but those who are no longer faithful in walking with the Lord. And some have asked for some other things that got written down. I can't remember them all. And one question was asked about war and so forth. And a very good question. I think about this passage, when it contrasts really the, and we'll come back to this when we do that sermon, but he contrasts the nature of the kingdom of Christ with that of a physical nature. And I think of passages like this, and I think about passages in the book of Isaiah, and we'll use those and keep them in context, because the nature of the kingdom is one of a spiritual nature. Now, he's not considering what nations do and war and so forth. He's talking about the nature of the kingdom and what we engage in relative to being citizens in the kingdom. That's what he's talking about in this passage. And I think about what the Lord said before Pilate in Acts 8 or John 18:36. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But my kingdom is not hence. And so the kingdom of Christ is of a spiritual nature. Now that's not saying that military is evil, but I'm just talking about, he's not talking about a military of a country. He's talking about the nature of the kingdom of Christ, which is a church. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Incidentally, Ephesians chapter 6 comes to mind when I think about put on the whole armor of God and so forth. But he says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now think of that. Every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Even my thought needs to be in obedience to Christ. And the Bible talks about often about our thoughts. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 4 and in verse 23. Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 8, he gives a list of things. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, and gives a list, and he says, think on these things. So be careful about what you spend your time thinking about. Don't think about and focus about evil things. Get those things out of your mind so much as possible, and think about pure things and things that are right and wholesome in the eyes of God. Someone says, preacher, you can't help what you think about. Well, perhaps to a degree, I would agree with that. But as the saying is, you may not can help the bird from flying over your head, but don't allow the bird to build a nest in your hair. And so a thought comes in, I mean, you have to dwell on it, get rid of it. And one good way to do that is to get your mind off self and on maybe perhaps to someone else. Look on the things of others, Philippians chapter 2, pick up the Bible and begin to read the Bible. Go to God in prayer and do some things to have a spiritual mind and get it off of carnal things. But also, as obedient children, we need to be obedient in word, in speech. Speak things that become sound doctrine, Titus chapter 2 and in verse 1. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that you may minister grace unto the hearers. And when you come down to verse 32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath also forgiven you. Be kind. Don't be bitter. And verse 31, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And so, mark your words. Guard your tongue. Some passages in the book of Psalm that I like really well. Psalm 34 and in verse 13. I'd encourage you to highlight these in your Bible and think about them. Folks say, well, it doesn't matter. When Christian people say many times, I want to rephrase that. When Christians say many times, when God's people say many times, that I just say what I think, don't be given to that. It's not always appropriate to say what you think. And it's not always appropriate to say what I think. It may not even be appropriate to think it at all, much less say it. And the little notion that says, well, I already thought it, I might as well go on and say it. Now think about how foolish of a statement that is. If it was wrong to think it, then why go ahead and commit another sin by saying it? Don't think that way. In Psalm 34 and in verse 13, keep thy tongue from evil. Now whose power is it to keep your tongue from evil? Ethan, can you keep my tongue from evil? Nope. Nobody. My responsibility. Keep thy tongue from evil. Then he goes on to say, and thy lips from speaking guile. Or from speaking evil. Guile rather. And I think about James 1:26 and James chapter 3 verses 1 through 13. I think about what Peter wrote about the Lord, in whom was no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. But then come to Psalm 141 and in verse 3. A lot of passages I know speak about the mouth and speak about words, speak about the tongue. And 104 or 141 in verse 3. The psalmist declared, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. Do you ever pray that unto God? I know personal responsibility. We just read about personal responsibility. You know, oftentimes, we need God's help with various different things. And it may be that sometimes we need help with our mouth. Set, O Lord, a watch before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Sometimes we run our mouth as though we didn't even know these passages were in the Bible. Sometimes we, and what I say to you, I say to me first. Sometimes we may speak too much. Talk too much. And we just need to learn the concept of being quiet. Colossians 4 and in verse 6, we need seasoned speech, seasoning our words with grace, salt, that we may know how we ought to answer every man. And I know we have to give an answer, but sanctify the Lord God in the heart and be ready always to give an answer of the hope to every man, of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 15. But as obedient children, we need to study. I tell you, if there's one thing that will absolutely kill a group of God's people, it's a lack of Bible knowledge. And just test your knowledge sometime. I like them old Bible trivia apps. You can download those for free. When I've got some free time, I click on that and just go to town and see what I can hit and what I can miss. Get a Bible trivia game. Play with the family. test your knowledge about something. One thing I like to do is just open up the Bible and don't look where it is, and just put your finger somewhere, read the verse, and see if you know where in the Bible you're at. Just see if you can hit where it's at, what book it is, what chapter it is, who said that. There's all kinds of ways to test your Bible knowledge. But the only way to increase your knowledge is one way, and that's just sent by the Word of God. But one way in which you can do that is to do what you're doing right now. Listening to what the Bible says. Thinking about it. And studying it over and over and over. Repetition, repetition, repetition. Little bits over a long period of time. Goes a lot further than a whole lot in a short amount of time. And so study the Word of God. So as obedient children, study. 2 Timothy 2:15, that you know, so are study to show thyself approved unto God. That word study, when I think about study, I think about homework. And I think about sitting down. And it would involve a lot of those things. But really the word, the idea is give diligence. Give diligence. Put your mind to it. To put forth the mental effort that it takes to be a good student of the Word of God, Psalm 1. Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the Word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Study the Book of God. All of us need to learn that the importance before it's too late. While we can, while our mental faculties operate correctly, to put down the remote, put down Facebook, put down the cell phone, put on whatever it might be, and just pick up the Word of God and read and study what the Bible says. Get rid of the junk out of our heart and put God's Word in. Thy Word, the psalmist declared, Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. If we don't hide God's Word in our heart, we are going to just be prey to the devil. 2 Timothy, chapter 2 and verse 15, by the way, again. But as obedient children, to attend it. I wish I didn't have to say this and feel like it needs to be said frequently, but it does. Not as much on Sunday morning as it does Sunday night, but when you begin to think about it, or Sunday night rather, as on Sunday morning. But it always needs to be said. Because many times we're given to a lot of things that pull us away from being here. But as obedient children, we need to attend every opportunity that we have. Every time the door is open, we need to be here. Now let me pause and say this, that many times the mentality of a lot of people is, when I come Sunday morning for the worship service, I've fulfilled my obligation to God. And I've heard people who really ought to know better to say, well, you know, it's just between God and that person, if they whether they want to come to Bible study or not. I'm going to tell you, as strong as I can, that what my presence, rather, that me being here for Bible class and for Wednesday and for gospel meetings says a lot about what I think about the work that this church is striving to do. I realize we come together for the worship hour Sunday morning, Sunday night, to worship God. But what about supporting the brethren when they're striving to do other things to increase folks' knowledge, to get stronger, to do the work that God has assigned for this local group to do, which, by the way, isn't just on Sunday morning. Ephesians 3, verses 10 and 11. That it is by the church the manifold wisdom of God is to be declared. The church is the pillar and the ground that is the support of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. As I mentioned to you earlier in the introduction. So it says a lot about my attitude toward the work of this church. I just wrote a thing, it was last week's bulletin, an article that I'd written some time ago, David's empty seat. And what your empty seat might indicate. What my empty seat just might indicate. So I need to be as obedient children, as an obedient child, faithful in attending. But then, as obedient children in every good work. As the Bible would mention in 2 Timothy 2 and in verse 21, if a man purge himself from these things, he shall be meet a vessel unto honor, meet, prepared for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. And again, the Bible declares, sets before us what is a good work. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 16 and verse 17. And so we need to be given to every good work. The widows, he talks about, which are widows indeed. Support from the treasure of the church on an ongoing basis. The Lord's money. If she had diligently followed every good work. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and in verse 10. Then also as an obedient child, I need to be obedient in conduct. My manner of life, your manner of life needs to be in line with what God has stated. When you go back to that text in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, he points that out. As Ethan read to us in the scripture, read it. As obedient children, not fashioning, that means conform, not fashioning, the likeness of yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. I wonder why he said former lusts in your ignorance. You know why he said former? Because it shouldn't describe how you are now. It should be the way the former man was, not the way you are now. Former lusts in your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conduct. King James Version says conversation. It means conduct. Your manner of life. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Then he goes on to talk about in light of the Father who judges every man's work. When you come over to the book of 2 Peter, Peter in that second writing had a statement that he made. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation or conduct and godliness? So I, as an obedient child, need to be obedient in conduct. Also Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Last point. Obedient in worship. Now, I don't have to spend a lot of time as we think about worship. I talked about assembly, but I don't have to spend a lot of time talking about the items of worship because you know those. You came here and you participated in those five items of worship: singing, Ephesians 5:19, and praying, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, preaching, Acts 20, verse 7. Partaking of the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 11 and Matthew 26, and then giving, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. You've done that. But I want you to think about as obedient children to worshiping God according to Spirit. That is with the right attitude. Focused on what God says. Being here for the right reason. Not because of habit, although it's a good habit to have. Not because of tradition, because it's something you've always done, but there are traditions of men and traditions of God. Things that have been handed down that are right, wholesome in the sight of God, but with the right attitude, putting our heart into it. Whatsoever you do, Paul wrote, do it heartily, not unto men, but unto God. Put your heart in it. Think about those things. I appreciate the good attention. Should you be here this morning? Not a child of God. You need to start by becoming an obedient person unto God. Being added to the Lord's family by doing what the Bible says to do. Hearing the gospel, Romans 10:17, believing it. John 8:24, repenting of your sins. Acts 3:19, confessing your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God. Acts 8:37. And being baptized in water for the remission of sins. Acts 2, verse 38. Then, as a new creature in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, now a member of the household of faith, a child of God, a member of the church of Christ, that he purchased with his own blood. Acts 20, verse 28. You go on as an obedient child of God all the days of your earthly pilgrimage. And when it comes to an end, as it will, I don't know when, but it will, you can go to heaven when life is over. If you have done that, but you've turned your back on the Lord and you've not been faithful as you should, you've not been that obedient child, you've rebelled against the precepts of God, and but you desire to come back home, you want to straighten all of that out, you have opportunity to do that. Repent of your unfaithfulness. Make confession unto God in prayer. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay. Come right now.